Hello, everybody. Welcome along to the Still Parents podcast supported by Global's Make Some Noise for Baby Loss Awareness Week 2024, which if you've not listened to any of this week's episode yet, it's very similar to what we did last year where we did mini episodes every single day across the week. My name is Dan. I'm here, of course, as ever from the Lily May Foundation who set up this podcast, Ryan Jackson and Matt Whitehouse. Hello, Ryan.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Matthew?
Very well, thanks.
How are you, mate?
All good, mate.
I saw Matt in a petrol station earlier, but I was trying to get his attention from outside the window.
What was he trying to work out? How to put petrol in his car?
I was
actually working out how to drive and buy some butter.
I was literally 4 foot from him, filming him, going, Matt, I've seen it.
Is it like that, the meerkat? Alan.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so the Alan Partridge thing, is it? Dad! Yeah, it was that. Anyway. So we are here every single day during Baby Loss Awareness Week. All of the other episodes are linked in the description for this, along with the link for the episode which our guest is in for, the full episode which he appeared on. I can't actually believe how much time has passed since we first had the one and only Mr. Amazing William Ellis on the show, who joined us in, I think it was end of October. It was episode 67. And he joins us again today. And also, William was our first ambassador for the podcast.
That's right.
Woo. Welcome back, William.
Pleasure to be here. And it's a pleasure to be an ambassador. Yeah.
Yes. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, like we said, the link for that episode is in the description. Lots of people may immediately recognise William's voice because at the time that we had him on previously, he was, I think you weren't too far from leaving it, but you were the extremely...
creepy.
Yeah.
the creepy Theo Hawthorne.
Yeah, in EastEnders. Yeah,
and I think at that point, I hadn't been sent to prison. So I think I went to prison in November. I got 10 years. I can't believe it.
Wow, wow. You're out already. That's quick.
Yeah. Well, I know. He got 10 years.
Yeah.
Which I felt was pretty harsh, especially as he pled guilty.
Yeah, you...
it's just annoying because, you know, if his storyline were to continue, he's been given 10 years, how do you break that cycle? But the writers are very good. If they decide they want him back, they always make that work.
Well, they kept bringing back Nick Cotton every 10 years, didn't they, for about four
well,
decades?
I mean, this is it. You know, they bring back people who are, you know, from the dead. Or
Harold Bishop.
Harold Bishop. Harold Bishop. Bishop is the best one. Yeah.
He just went
for a
swim. It's an amazing...
Fell off a
it's
rock.
An amazing show. And I did some media the other day and someone described it as a juggernaut of a show. And I thought that was a really apt word to
yeah,
use.
Yeah, I love that word.
Yeah, it just keeps it keeps delivering, and they've done such a good job the last couple of years in kind of reinventing it to a wider audience, I think. So it was a real privilege to be part of, even though I'm currently sitting in jail.
One thing that stood out, I remember from before we move on for this episode, one thing that stuck out from that one was you telling us a couple of stories about, because, you know, members of the general public who don't quite get the line between, you know, reality and fiction, and you were on a plane and people were like shouting, nonsense, or something from like 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, all that. And it's weird, as soon as your face sort of disappears... you become slightly less instantly recognizable, but people sort of hold your gaze thinking, I know that guy, where do I know him from? And quite a few times I've had people come up to me saying, excuse me, I have to, are you my daughter's teacher? I'm sure I know you from somewhere. You teach my daughter, don't you? And I just say, no, I'm afraid I don't know. And then you explain, you know, that maybe they might have seen you. Because you obviously don't want to say, I'm on EastEnders. Right?
Yeah. I'm a creepy psycho.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm that weirdo.
How is life and everything in the almost a year since we, it is a year actually, since we last spoke to you?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting year work-wise. I mean, my industry's been quite tricky this year, but I swam the English Channel 2 weeks ago, so I've had lots of time to swim and to train, and it was the culmination of like 2 years' work swimming the Channel 2 weeks ago, as I say, exactly 2 weeks ago today. It felt like it was slightly serendipitous to have a little bit of time to sort of have the space to do that. So it's been a very, very interesting year.
Well, that's actually ties in with what we want, because especially with something like swimming, which is a very solo, isolated, you know, because the amount of time you're spending, you know, underwater with your face in the water, maybe, you know, it's different maybe from going for a group walk.
The thing with swimming as well, and I've said it before because my eldest used to swim, is it can be a very, very lonely sport. And I know from speaking to him, it can be very lonely because you're swimming up and down a pool. What I'm really interested in is how on God's earth do you train to swim the channel? Because it's not like swimming in a swimming pool.
No, no.
And it's you're in seawater, salt water.
Or currents, yeah.
Currents, tide. I just don't
weather,
know
everything,
how
yeah.
you train for something like that.
You could probably get all your answers for this, Ryan, in William Ellis's podcast, which are you still doing, by the way?
I'm about to start season four.
Oh, fantastic. We'll stick the link for that in the description as well. The theme for this year's Baby Loss Awareness Week, Baby Loss Awareness Week is now, it started in, it was 2002. So this will be, as maths by Dan, year number 22. And the theme for it this year is Together We Care. And this theme focuses on finding time to care for oneself and others as part of a community affected by pregnancy and the loss of a child and your child. Now, sadly, there'll be people listening to this episode who hadn't or weren't even aware that this shitstorm that they were about to go through when we did the episodes last year. We want to get the opinions of former guests we've had on, along with Ryan and Matt, about that theme and Together We Care and looking after yourself and how you, in your current moments, where you are at physically and mentally right now, still navigating the loss of, it was your boy, wasn't it, Dash, with your wife, Alice?
That's right, yeah. So for me, Baby Loss Awareness Week is... It's not only a way to kind of remember and come together with other grieving parents, but it's a way to remind people outside of that, you know, relatively small circle, that you know you're still going through something, you're processing, and you know you're still hurting and you are still grieving. People always talk about an unconditional love for a child, you know, who may be very young, you know, or maybe in utero. I like the idea of grief for the loss of a child also being, it's an unconditional grief. You know, I mean, grief is unconditional, I suppose, but that idea that it's a slightly broader form of grief than you know, losing a parent or losing someone who has lived. You have no blanks to fill in, and therefore all the life that you had imagined or had wished for, you're grieving for unconditionally. So in a way, it's a different process, you know, grieving a baby to grieving someone close to you who may die. But grief is grief, you know, and you can't compare, you can't suggest anyone's grief is greater than anyone else's because it all hurts. It's all relative. But I like that idea of unconditional love for a child means unconditional grief for a baby that's gone. And so Baby Loss Awareness Week is a reminder to those people who you know or who are browsing social media that day that something really matters and something's really important. And that keeps the memory of your loss alive. And I've grown to like that. I've grown to enjoy grief. I've grown to enjoy that sort of guttural feeling of loss.
That embracement,
it reminds you that it mattered. It reminds you that you know that it was real. It's interesting though how grief changes, because it doesn't certainly so far for us. We lost Dash in 2017, but I remember this year his birthday was one of the hardest for me, bizarrely, besides year one that I can remember, and it took me completely by surprise. And again, I just spent the day quite literally in bed, just feeling terrible. But you know, compared to previous years, where it's been an event for his birthday, but it's felt like it is being sort of diluted in a slightly different way. But this year, for some reason, you know, and I felt that was very cathartic because it needed to happen. There's, you know, I've been holding that grief in my body somewhere or something, and I think Baby Loss Awareness Week, and my point being, is that as time goes on, it becomes a time for release for sharing, not dissimilar to memorial days for the fallen or for other sort of occasions when people come together, because there is grief is held in your body in so many different ways, and therefore if there are public occasions when you are able to release it, then I think that's very cathartic and very healthy for all parents, no matter what stage of the journey they're on.
Also, I think what William's just said there is that William's obviously, so that's 7 years on, and he's had that that time and like you were saying, that grief needed to come out in some way, shape or form. And I think that at times we can potentially get lost in a manufactured time to say, oh, right, this week we're going to remember this, or this day we're going to remember this. Yeah. That's not to say, though, that we shouldn't have that time because it's about education at the same time as well. We're letting other people know. And I think William's just hit the nail on the head, is that grief can just rear its ugly head at any point, at any time. And like I've always said, it's not linear, is it? It's, and it just so happens that, unfortunately, this year he's found it, you know, especially difficult. But what I like about that is the fact that he's able to share that.
I was going to say, and also the reaction from what William said about what you said and how you dealt with it, it links right back into what we're talking about. The fact that you had a day in bed as such, that's self-care right there. Mm. Because we speak to our clients all the time and say, you do what you need to do.
Yeah. Right?
Especially in the early stages. And there is a real kind of, sometimes when you first lose, there's an expectation from yourself, not really from anyone else. Well, unless you're surrounded by dickheads. There's an expectation from yourself to feel better quickly and to possibly feel better at a point where you should be getting better. And you almost put yourself under pressure. But then you got to say to people, no, just take it at your own speed, take it at your own pace. Your grief is your grief, and you take care of yourself how you take care of yourself.
Is that a societal pressure? Comes from a societal pressure, you think, on top of your own? Is that
I do say dickheads flippantly. I know that, but like, if you are surrounded by certain people who in your life who expect certain things and don't quite understand what's happening, which is fine, by the way, because it is a hard issue to deal with, understandably so, but if they're not patient enough, then it does add to you, right, I should be feeling better, or should be doing that. So what William said about staying in bed, absolutely, that's self-care right there.
Yeah.
That's self-care. And I know it's kind of the other direction, but I was very keen to bring this up, William, because I...
know what you can say.
Yeah, I think William knows as well. I was very keen to bring this up because we've shared this story with people, and you've shared it obviously publicly. It was when you broke your hand punching your fridge, because but originally that was self-care, because you got into this game, didn't you, right? And that was self-care.
I'm glad glad you clarified that, because punching isn't self-care.
Give me some context behind it. Yeah, William.
For the sake of the audience, here's a quick clip of his story.
Right.
I broke my hand punching a fridge.
Oh, fucking hell.
I just lost a game of Clash of Clans. And I was so angry. That's what tipped me over the edge.
I punched the fridge and I broke
the bones in my hand.
That's mad.
And I never said that publicly until now, because it's deeply embarrassing.
Originally, that's self-care, right? Because it's something that takes you away a little bit, I suppose, removes you from reality a little bit, you know, and allows you to...
Well, it's a release.
You process things as well differently, right? I'm assuming that was the case.
It was, and I think I was holding a lot of anger at that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was triggered by a stupid game I was playing.
14-year-old Specky Twat, you called him. I remember that. It was
something
my
like that. Yeah. And I, but it was the culmination. I mean, my Dash was an IVF baby. And we were then going into another round of IVF. We changed clinics, and the clinic sort of put all these demands on us literally overnight, of like diet change and all sorts of pills that we needed to take. It was going to cost a fortune on top of, you know, the money that we were already paying them, which was eye-watering enough. So there I was, trying to shut the world out, and some specky twat, gave me a thumbs up for having beaten me on some stupid game.
Clash of Clans.
And that's what tipped me over the edge, you know. But obviously, when you look at it objectively, you can see the bigger picture. Whereas in that moment, it just felt like I was reacting to some Clash of Clans game, whatever it was. I can't remember what it was. It's so embarrassing.
But the big picture, I think it's so relatable for people too, because that's real life. That's what happens.
Oh, it is. Yeah. No, it is. And it's, like I said, self-care comes from everywhere. But again, it comes back to doing what you need to do at the point to help you.
Precisely.
That's it, right?
Yeah.
It is.
final thing before, because you mentioned this actually a little bit earlier on, but the role that social media plays in a week such as Baby Loss Awareness Week.
Well, I think that's where, I mean, for my personal opinion on that, that's where the merit of social media, that's where the merit of social media comes in. When after Dash died, I came off all social media because I didn't want to be reminded of, you know, we were at that age where lots of our friends were having babies, and I didn't want to be reminded of people who had got fallen pregnant at the drop of a hat or weren't even trying, having gone through 5 years of IVF to have a baby, only for it then for him to die prematurely. So, coming back on social media, I only came back on a few platforms.
Yeah.
Suddenly, something like this actually is a real positive effect. I think, for my money, so far, it can only help things like this. You know, social media is a terribly difficult thing to navigate at the best of times, especially people who are going through any form of trauma, because it's very difficult to not compare, isn't it? But I think little things like this help, little bits of sort of light in the gloom, aren't they? To remind people that you're hurting.
Yeah. That was this episode of Baby Loss Awareness Week. And thank you very much once again for our now ambassador, William Ellis. Thank you for joining us. And we are...
absolute pleasure.
We're looking forward to getting you on again soon. I've been saying to Ryan, actually, we need to do, for one of the charity challenges, we definitely need to get involved in some sort of swimming one, because I think we need, you know, to tap into your services at some point. Lather up the goose fat or whatever it is you put on.
I'll do doggy paddle.
Lather up the goose fat and for the swimming.
Yeah. Sounds like my kind of Saturday night. William, all the best. Take care. Love to you and your family. And we will speak to you and hopefully see you very, very soon.
Thank you. Same to you, fellas. All the best.
Thank you. Cheers.